Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Neil Kulong to talk the NFL today. Saw that the Redskins dumped Andre Roberts and his $5 million contract. Gone. We will talk to Neil today in the 4 o'clock half hour. Dick Girardi, by the way, later in the week on the Preakness. Sidney Crosby did something last night he had never done before. He scored an overtime game winner in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That was, if the Penguins win the Stanley Cup, that will be the biggest single goal of the whole thing. We'll have Dick Girardi, by the way, Friday. We've got that confirmed now. DJ just texted me. It's amazing. He does listen to the show. So, you're just talking about it. They're going to go that route.
One more on our side. We'll take it.
One more on our side. Have you seen the Facebook numbers?
Nice little spike here the last couple of days. Yes, sir.
What the heck's going on here, people? This is terrific. It was actually sent to me, so I sat there and looked at it and went, wow. Let me see if we can get the full deal here. Yeah, there it is. The Steve Jones Show Facebook numbers weekly Facebook update. We are up 167%. Weekly reach is up 152%. People engage is up 229%. Total likes are up 3.5%. Wow. Well, I'll tell you, that plan we had where Sean would just keep going back and back and back and back himself. I mean, I know it was tiring for you, but we appreciate that.
You're on to me after a couple of months.
And Marshall Marachi, the third, is the latest to go in and like the Steve Jones Show.
Yeah, if you're on Facebook, just type Steve Jones Show in the search bar. Give us a like, and we post links to stories we talk about and podcasts as well, so you're in the know with everything we have going on here.
The Facebook numbers are way up. I mean, way up, you know. And I thought when it came to, like, social media, digital media, I thought the suit was the king, but forget that. How about that?
Well, that's very kind of you. But, he laid the foundation for the whole thing, so I'm not going to take all the credit.
Sure. Terrific. But Dick Girardi will be on Friday's show, day before the Preakness. So we will have him on to talk about that, whether Nyquist can make it 2-for-2. I'm with Eddie Olczyk on this. I think Nyquist will win Saturday. I'm not sure he can navigate successfully quicker than any other horse the mile and a half in the Belmont. I just don't see it. Now, we'll have to find out. He's got to win this one first. But this is shorter than the other one. It's a mile and 3/16. I think in the end he ends up being 9-for-9 and he wins.
I'm pretty safe to say there won't be 20 horses in the field this Saturday compared to 2 weeks ago.
No, I think it's going to be a dozen. Now, I know there are a dozen that put entries in. Now, whether or not all of them go, we'll see. But it's a dozen. It's a completely different race. It's a normal race in terms of field. It's normal. Because, again, the Kentucky Derby is the only one that goes over 14 horses. 14 is the limit in the U.S. They go 20 in the Derby. Everything else from now on is going to be like a regular race. But then again, the Belmont's not because it's a mile and a half, and nobody goes a mile and a half. It just doesn't happen. But Crosby scored the game winner last night. You need your stars to be the stars at the big moments. It is his first overtime playoff goal winner. And we will hear that in their play-by-play call of the day a little bit later in the show. I think what happened last night was that, I'll tell you, the guy who was saved last night, and that happened to be Matt Murray.
I was going to ask you, if they went down 3-2 in the third, would have they made the switch to Marc-Andre Fleury?
I would, you know, it's really interesting. This is in a different sport, different realm. But think about this. Peyton Manning, Brock Osweiler, Earl Morrill, Bob Greasy. I mean, it's not like in football it hasn't happened where you've gone back to the injured starting quarterback to then take over and then win. Just a thought. But I think he's the one that was saved last night. Did you notice something interesting? Normally in overtime, the guys on the ice celebrate with the guy that scored. But what does the bench normally do? The bench normally runs to the goalie and starts mobbing the goalie. Not last night. Every guy came off the bench and mobbed Crosby.
It was barely a couple of seconds after he scored, and Crosby disappeared in the shot.
Right. And I'm not saying that because it has nothing to do with Murray. That has zero to do with Matt Murray. That tells me how important it was that Crosby scored that goal for them.
How big of a burden is that off of his shoulders now, though?
Right. And off the team, the fact that he scored it was a big, big deal to this team that he scored it. It wasn't just that he needed it. I think they needed him to do it. Because, as I pointed out yesterday, I feel actually over the eight games where he hasn't scored a goal, he has three assists, that I thought he was playing actually really well. Look at the passes. He makes passes nobody else makes. Puts it on the tape like nobody else does. Makes passes from angles you're not used to seeing. And he was continuing to do that and playing hard and digging in the corner, and he finally gets something for his hard work. I just think that that was a huge goal for him last night. On a night where the Penguins rolled lines, they changed up combinations on lines. I haven't seen them do that in weeks. And even Tampa got caught up on it because Tampa put the triplets together last night for the first time in weeks in the third period. So even now Cooper's even looking for a combination right now.
Well, Pittsburgh's seven wins away from the Cup. Even if Crosby does not score the rest of the way in the postseason, if they win the Cup, that would have to go down last night as the most important goal he has scored in his professional career.
Yeah, I mean, it would be right there with the Olympic goal he scored in overtime against the U.S. in Vancouver. But with the Penguins, yeah, it's the first time in an NHL game he has scored an overtime winner. And if they win the Cup, I think it's the single most important goal they've had. Now, we may get the Game 7 and somebody scores it in overtime, then it changes the conversation.
Oh, we got chances of a game going to... We may have another game going double or triple overtime before this series is over. That could happen, too.
Right. Yeah, they both play well. Now, Oklahoma City last night beat Golden State. You know what's interesting about that? Beyond the usual stats of, you know, Golden State hadn't lost a home game all year in which they were leading at halftime. It's only the second loss they've had. You know what was really, really interesting about that last night? Oklahoma City didn't play well and won.
Yeah, Kevin Durant had an off night. Westbrook pretty much kept that team going.
Westbrook had a great quarter. In quarters 1, 2, and 4, Westbrook didn't play well. In third quarter, Westbrook played great.
Yeah, 24 of his 27 points in the second half.
Well, he had 19 in the third quarter. And they didn't play well except for one area. The one area where Oklahoma City played very well last night is they took care of the ball. Golden State feeds off of your turnovers. And it doesn't really matter about driving it to the bucket. They'll take a turnover and they'll turn it into a three-pointer at the other end. Last night, Oklahoma City kept its turnovers down, and that opened the door for them to win the game. Because Oklahoma City didn't play well. So if you're Oklahoma City, you didn't play well, you were on the road, and you still won. How good are you feeling today? It's now going to be up to Golden State to really change that around. As I said 3 weeks ago in the show, the team I picked to win it 3 weeks ago was Cleveland. They're playing better than anybody. San Antonio, Golden State, Toronto, Oklahoma City. And they've been playing better than anybody for a little while now, but being in the East, you're a little bit more under the radar. And when you keep sweeping teams, you keep not playing, which means we're not watching you. They're playing better than anybody right now. All right, let's get to what is the big story of the day. And the big story of the day, again, does involve in some part with Penn State. And that deals with the concussion lawsuit against members, schools, or conferences of the NCAA. The first wave was announced today. And among it, it does include James Boyd, Eric Rivati, and Bobby Samuels from Penn State. And this is an interesting suit. For the most part, they've gone conferences. This is a strategy here. This is not they want to sue the NCAA, but strategically, I guess they can't. There's some reason they can't. So again, this throws Penn State back into the forefront. And here's how it goes. John Solomon from CBS wrote the story, and John's on top of a lot of things to his credit. Here's the story. Former college football players at Penn State, Auburn, Georgia, and Oregon, Utah, and Vanderbilt are suing the NCAA, their former conferences, and in some cases, their former school over how their concussions were treated. Six class action lawsuits were filed today, represent the start of the next wave of concussion litigation in college sports, even as the NCAA finalizes a $75 million settlement from a different lawsuit related to concussions. Chicago attorney Jay Edelson, who is leading the latest effort to sue the NCAA, said 40 to 50 class action lawsuits will eventually get filed on behalf of tens of thousands of ex-football players. Said the goal of the suits is to get people who are injured financial compensation, something that hasn't happened as of yet. A federal judge in Illinois gave preliminary approval in January to the NCAA settlement from a 2011 lawsuit brought by former Eastern Illinois football player Adrian Arrington. In fact, he used to be at Michigan. Over how the association handled concussions. The judge had one significant caveat. Athletes could sue their university, the conference, and the NCAA under a class action under certain terms, meaning the NCAA did not receive the blanket immunity it had sought. Edelson fought the Arrington settlement for 2 years because he said it changed from a lawsuit about personal injuries into one strictly about medical monitoring. Under the proposed Arrington settlement, the NCAA will create $70 million to fund a test for thousands of current and former athletes for brain trauma and put aside $5 million for concussion research. The settlement does not pay medical costs for ex-players suffering from brain injuries. Arrington, one of the named plaintiffs, opposed the settlement and other plaintiffs did sign off on it. Edelson's current batch of lawsuits tries to include groups of ex-players at individual schools going back 50 to 60 years up until 2010. The end date is 2010 because that's when the NCAA passed legislation requiring schools to have a concussion management plan and return to play protocols. Now, what's interesting about this is Penn State's had that now in place for at minimum a decade and a half because I've watched it play out. But we'll get to the players here in a moment. And in fact, we'll come back and talk about which players and why and what they've suffered from as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. Let's get back to this now because this is the first in a series of lawsuits. And John Solomon wrote this on CBSSports.com. And in talking to the attorney Edelson, he says, we thought the most efficient way was to file one large suit against the NCAA, and they blocked that. And said, in order to proceed, we have to file on behalf of classes only comprised of one school, one sport. I think they were betting we didn't have the resources to do that. He says, but we've sued Facebook and Google. The NCAA isn't any more intimidating than those companies. That's why you're seeing that why is Penn State being sued? This is the reason why. Edelson said that 10 law firms are working on the concussion cases. Most of the lawsuits will be against universities with wealthy football programs and likely will get filed in batches about every other week. So expect that in two more weeks, it'll be a different list of schools. So here's the initial batch. Bobby Samuels, who came here as a tailback and then played DB in 88-89. James Boyd, who ended up being a third-team All-America safety here from 97 to 2001. Although I think Boyd's last season here was 2000. And Eric Rivati, who played linebacker here from 90 to 94. They're suing Penn State, the NCAA, the Big Ten, and they're doing so in the Northern District of Illinois. Their suit generally states that all three men currently suffer with their cognitive functioning, such as loss of memory and mood swings. We'll tell you about the other schools involved and the players and what they're suffering from in the next half hour. Neil Coulong at 4:06 today. This concussion suit is another huge one. And it's going to be across the board. As he said, this is just the initial wave. Two more weeks, expect another story, more names, and more schools. Because they wanted to do it against the NCAA, but we're told they had to do it this way.
If you thought 100 years in business was impressive, SMC is going to show you 101 is even more spectacular. During the month of May, Sunbury Motors Ford is going to sell 101 new Fords by discounting every new Ford to the lowest price possible. Plus, give you more for your trade. SMC is where you want to be if you want to choose from 42 new Escapes starting at $18,880. SMC is where you want to be if you want to choose from 85 new F-150s starting at $23,749. Saving you up to $11,400. SMC is where you want to be if you want 0% financing for 72 months on Focuses, Fusions, Edges, Escapes, and Explorers. Now is the time to take advantage of Sunbury Motors' goal to sell 101 new Fords in May. SMC's goal is your gain. 101 vehicles sold means you'll save more money than ever before. Sunbury Motors and the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for 101 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, look, there's the other guy's way and there's the Sunbury Motors way. And the Sunbury Motors way is the one that wins out every single time. Let's see. the suit, again, is interesting because concussion protocols is something that was not in place anywhere for a long time, obviously. I mean, the real... I remember Dr. Margot Petukian was here at Penn State. I want to say Margot was here in the mid-90s. She's now at Princeton, I believe. And she was one of the forerunners into concussions and concussion study. And she started that when she was here at Penn State. And I don't know if she had done anything before she'd come here or not, but I know she did a lot of work on it here at Penn State, and that was back in the mid-90s. Now, when you look at Bobby Samuels and Eric Rivati, for example, they would be before this. I don't remember when specific protocols were put in here. I don't. I don't know what year. But I do know that for a long time here, when I mean a long time, I'm talking more than 10 years, even more so than that, but more than 10 years minimum, that you've had a baseline test and you then had to pass a physical test. And, but I don't know when they put in specific protocols here. I'd have to ask Dr. Sebastianelli that. But I do know that Penn State has been very aware of this. And I'll give you an example. I'll need 1 second here because I just want to look up the name of one player here. It's a basketball player. And he suffered, let's see here, if I can find there, let's see here. I think I just want to make sure what years he was here. That's the only reason I want to say. Let's see, player profile, game log. Because he then transferred to Texas A&M. No, this isn't going to help out. Yeah, this is only a recent one. That's wrong. But when he played here, he suffered a concussion. And they would not let him back in. And eventually he had to transfer. Because they wouldn't let him play here again. And I thought he... I thought he played in the late 90s. I thought it was right around there. That was them then trying to get a handle on concussions. And she was part of that at the time. Yeah, he played here in... he played here in 96, 97. Yeah. Okay. What happened was this. I'm not going to get into the name of the player. All right. But he had suffered a concussion. All right. Then he went through the protocols that they had put in place. Again, this is the mid to late 90s here. He'd suffered a concussion. He then suffered, I think, a second one. And the research that was being done then, which has now been borne out now, is that you're 50% more susceptible to suffering a concussion once you've had a first one. And then he was running down the court. It was in practice. And he got bumped. I don't mean hit, and I don't mean wrapped. He got bumped in the head area. I mean bumped. I don't mean hit. And he lost his memory. And for 5 to 6 days, every time that we saw him, we'd have to go and introduce ourselves to him. Hey, you know, I am. This is what I do. And I remember walking past him one day before practice, and he said, "Hey, Steve, how you doing?" You could see how happy he was that he knew who I was just by name. They would not clear him to play here again. And they were, you know, they were doing it for his own well-being. I mean, to be frank with you, I thought the guy actually was going to be a good player here. And he kept transferring to Texas A&M. And actually did play there. And to my knowledge, played there and had no issues there. But that's how far back, for example, to give you an example, you know, if you, about concussion and the process of learning more about it, that here in the late, mid to late 90s, there was a player they would not allow to play again in basketball. And I can't speak for the football part, but I do know I've seen many a player go through the concussion protocol here. I don't mean the test. I've never seen them do the baseline test. But they'll be on the bike, the whole thing. I've seen that for a long time here. This is being done, but what we know now about concussions compared to what we knew about 25 years ago is a completely different realm today. It's a completely different ball game from the old, you got your bell rung. So they've had concussion protocol here for a while. It is not unprecedented that Penn State kept an athlete from playing because they had suffered, quote, too many concussions, because they saw it happen in basketball. Now, beyond the three that are the Penn State, which would be James Boyd, who's the latest one, 97 to 2001, I think Boyd played in the 2000 season. I think his graduate year was May of 2001. And that doesn't really matter, I guess. Eric Rivati and Bobby Samuels. The others are Auburn linebacker Joseph Miller. He played at Auburn from 96 to 98. He is suing the NCAA and the SEC, and the suit claims he would hit players so hard that he would see stars and black out, lose balance, and try to shake it off. Miller began to lose memory, struggle with depression and anxiety, sought treatment according to the suit. Ronald Herrmann, a walk-on defensive end at Georgia, he played there 84 to 86. He is suing the NCAA and the SEC. The suit claims Herrmann suffered numerous concussions and briefly described an incident in which he saw stars after a hit on a kickoff. Today, Herman's loss of memory is particularly challenging, and he sought out medical treatment in an effort to find answers that defendants failed to provide, according to the suit. Daniel Cook, Oregon, offensive lineman, 1971 to 73, is suing the NCAA and the Pac-12. The suit claims Cook was knocked out as many as 15 to 30 times and on four occasions lost consciousness lasting 2 to 3 minutes. Cook has been diagnosed with dementia, lives with family members for extended periods of time, according to the suit. Brandon Walthour, linebacker, Vanderbilt, 1999 to 2002, is suing Vanderbilt, the NCAA, and the SEC. He says he suffered several concussions and now has cognitive functioning problems such as loss of memory, mood swings, sensitivity to light, and blackouts, according to the suit. Richard Seals, defensive lineman, Utah, 1995 to 99, is suing the NCAA and the Western Athletic Conference. He had 9 sacks as a senior. The suit claims Seals now has cognitive functioning problems such as loss of memory and mood swings. John Solomon writes in his column today, what is being alleged? The lawsuits allege negligence, fraudulent concealment, breach of express contract, breach of implied contract, breach of third-party express contract, and unjust enrichment. For decades, the NCAA schools and conferences knew about debilitating long-term dangers of concussions and subconcussive injuries, but actively concealed the information to protect the very profitable business of, quote, amateur, end of quote, college football. The suit claims that the defendants are accused of encouraging players to return to play after suffering concussions. What do they want? All the lawsuits are seeking compensatory and punitive damages, including past, present, and future medical expenses. The lawyers are seeking reasonable litigation costs and attorney's fees. Now the question is whether they'll succeed. So here's the opinion part. That John Solomon wrote. So I'll just give you what the opinion part reads. Remains to be seen. He said, to get class certification, lawyers must show that there is commonality among the plaintiffs' claims that supersede any questions affecting individuals. Ellison's lawsuits state that common questions include whether the NCAA conference and or school had a duty to enact rules related to concussions and adequately warn and educate players about the dangers and symptoms of brain injuries. What's going to be difficult in this is that, and this is the issue you have with the NFL, because some of the NFL stuff goes way back, but how much did anybody know about concussions and brain injuries 20 30, 40, 50 years ago? How many times did you hear the expression, got his bell rung? And, you know, and then none of us really thought about that. Now, who in the medical profession thought about it? That's the key. I mean, looking at a coach or coaches, whatever. Okay, they're coaches. They are not medical professionals. Did maybe coaches put pressure on getting guys back? I'm sure along the way that's happened many, many times at many, many schools. That, you know, that we can't talk about or judge. But how much did the medical professionals know? We've had Dr. John Fury on this show many times, and I brought up Margot Patukian's name to him. Every time I bring up Margot's name, John jumps right in and says, yeah, one of the leaders at the forefront of concussion research. And again, it's something you have to research. Thank goodness we know exponentially more about it now. Baselines, testing you have to do, protocols. And the NFL did the right thing by, for example, stationing somebody in the press box to take care of that. I mean, but what I found interesting about this was I know how it was handled with one basketball player in the mid-90s here. And they wouldn't let him play here anymore. But that was basketball. It wasn't football. So I can't speak to the other one. I can't speak to them at all when it comes to this. I know how it's handled now, and I also know how it's been handled for years. But she was one of the leaders, one of the forefront. Then Doug Aukerman, when he came in, Doug then really picked up the ball, and Doug really worked hard here on that. And we know exponentially more about it now than we did 20 years ago because of her work and the work of others. There, you know, there's a collaborative effort going on here. And it wasn't just Margot when she was at Penn State. There are others at other universities working in collaboration with her. But I know it's something they were working on. I had her on my show and interviewed her several times about this topic in the 90s before she left. And she ended up marrying Joe Hindeling, the baseball coach, and then the two of them left here and moved to New Jersey. And Joe Hindeling left here after the 2004 season. So, in fact, Joe was one of the guys that fought very hard for a Midler Field to happen. But yeah, but 2004 was his last season here, and that's when they moved. So she was here, and I think she had gone to Princeton. Maybe I want to say. Maybe a little bit before he retired. And she did a lot of work here on that. This was like a big this was a big deal to her. Let's see here. Probably ought to get her on the show here one of these times. Let's see. According to this, she's at Princeton still. But she did a ton of work on this. We will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, welcome back. It is a topic that is hot always because there have been so many people that have played sports, and we've talked about this before. Football becomes a focal point on these things, but other sports have concussion issues as well. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of young people playing youth soccer. I think just on pure numbers, the door is open to having more, but stats will show you there are actually more concussions in soccer than there are in football. But again, there are also a lot of numbers in soccer, too, that are participating. But other sports have this issue. Basketball has the issue. But football, by the nature of it, that you're wearing a helmet, that you're wearing pads, and the contact is fast and at times can be violent. It's going to be one that's going to get more publicity than any other. But expect another wave of these to come out in a couple of weeks with a different set of names and a different set of schools and conferences being named. So far in this, you have not seen the Big 12 or the ACC named. You've seen the Big 10, you've seen the Pac-12, and you've seen the SEC. Still the ACC and the Big 12 have not. That's next.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies, News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury.